care of some things. And Micah, if you would give State Senator Cook a call, because we want to talk with him a little bit about the events in Las Vegas, get his take on now the demonization of the NRA. Cook a call, because we Cook a call. He just texted me and said, hey, 535, in 5, do something a little bit out of the ordinary, because I've been promising we were going to talk with former Weld County Sheriff and State Senator John Cook at 535. Interestingly enough, he is at an FBI organizational meeting in Colorado, and he just texted me and said, hey, do you think we could do this now? So why don't we go ahead and take care of some things? And Micah, if you would give State Senator Cook a call, because we want to talk with him a little bit about the events in Las Vegas, get his take on now the demonization of the NRA and the increased calls, predictable though they are, for gun control, when you realize that, unfortunately, and this came up during a discussion with our own Damon Sasso yesterday, you can't make evil illegal. And sadly, Stephen Pollack, in amassing this arsenal of weapons, broke no laws. 513 now, 1310 KFKA. State Senator John Cook on the line. Senator Cook, thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gail, for having me.
You bet. You bet. So I wanted to start, and I know your time is very, very limited, because you're at a conference right now, right, in Colorado?
I am. I'm up in Breckenridge at the FBI National Academy Conference. I graduated from the FBI Academy several years ago, and we have a local chapter, and it's a retrainer. And so it's kind of like my connection still with law enforcement a little bit.
And speaking of which, as our former Weld County Sheriff, I'm sure that you, like the rest of us, although you with a more professional eye, watched with shock and horror as events unfolded in Las Vegas on Sunday night. My understanding is that law enforcement, the Sheriff's Department in Vegas, highly thought of, and that basically, given the enormity of the situation, they took their knowledge base, they took their training, they planned the work, and then they worked the plan.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they did an outstanding job, as do almost all law enforcement agencies in this state and in this country. They did a fantastic job. Within 9 minutes, they identified where the shots were coming from, and I think they breached the room within like 12 minutes, and were able to at least help stop the carnage. I mean, they did a fantastic job. They had a plan in place, and their training must have been, immaculate. Must be just terrific, because they followed their training, and they were able to, I think, help stop this.
I mean,
and first of all, let me say too, you know, it was a horrible tragedy, and you know, not just mine, but the hearts of, you know, all Coloradans and the rest of the country go out to the victims and the families of those victims, because it was just terrible.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. And again, this goes along the lines, and this is not the time to be snarky, and that certainly isn't my intent. But wasn't it Rahm Emanuel that said, never let a good crisis go to waste? And it's
right.
So predictable that we see immediately the Democrats dusting off their 30-year-old talking points when it comes to gun control. And the conversation very quickly, and some Republicans as well, but the conversation very quickly turns political in terms of gun control. But the facts of this case, as we understand it at this point in time, is that the shooter, this Stephen Pollack, broke no laws. And
right.
It appears as though what we're trying to do here is legislate evil.
Right. Right. You know, it to the first point, just disgusting that the Democrats and some Republicans are talking about gun control. To politicize this is just, like I said, disgusting and repugnant. It now's not the time. Let you know, the people haven't even that were killed haven't even been buried yet,
right.
And a lot of the other victims aren't even out of the hospital yet. So it's just disgusting that they would do that. And you know, if we put more gun control on, what this guy would probably would have done was you know, do a bomb, and you know, be there and put a bomb in the midst of the people. You can't control human behavior like this, and it's not the firearm, it's the heart of man. And when somebody is that evil, they're going to find ways around anything, any laws, anything that we pass, they're going to find ways around it. And we cannot legislate, what people do.
Well, criminals not known for following laws, which again is another,
right,
you know, fallacy in, well, more gun control will actually stop this. But what about those,
right,
the bump or slide stocks that essentially, and again, my knowledge of this is very limited, but my understanding is it essentially turns semi-automatics into an automatic weapon, a machine gun for all intents and purposes. Is that a correct characterization?
Yeah, I mean, from what I know about it, yes. But the thing, and I think the manufacturer of that that stock, I think they have stopped making those. But that doesn't mean you can't get them. You know, and it's not illegal to own machine guns. People, you can apply for a permit to get a machine gun. They're not illegal in this country.
Right.
And, you know, and on the black market, you can pick them up fairly easily.
Yeah, but it became a lot tougher. I mean, the laws go all the way back to 1934, and then I understand,
right,
they were strengthened again 1986, which makes it very, very difficult, if not next to impossible, very expensive for an individual,
right,
to own an automatic weapon.
Well, what happens is they have to apply with the chief law enforcement official, which is usually the sheriff, and they have a permit, and we do a check and make sure we have no reason to believe that person would use a fully automatic weapon for, you know, criminal purposes. And then it goes on to the ATF, and then the ATF does the final, you know, check off. And they do an extensive background, and it is expensive, but it's mainly transfers of automatic weapons. So, I mean, you can get them. It's there, you know, people think, oh, you can't own a machine gun, but you really can. In this type of stock where it makes it fully automatic, I believe the manufacturer went out of business on that.
Right. But my understanding is, too, that, you know, thanks to the Internet, it's not that difficult to pick up the knowledge, not to mention the parts, that you can modify a semi-automatic yourself.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, the Internet tells you anything you want to do for ill-gotten gains. You can look it up on the internet and find out whatever you want, how to build bombs, how to, you know, make weapons fully automatic. So yeah, it's readily out there.
520 now, 1310 KFKA, joined by State Senator Ford, former Weld County Sheriff John Cook. Let's talk about the special session that wasn't all that special. Expensive.
Yeah, not very special at all.
Yeah, expensive, but really not that productive. What,
right,
was going on with that?
Well, you know, I don't know where the governor, you know, got his information where he thought that this, according to him, simple fix would be a simple fix, because it really wasn't. It's not simple, and it wasn't a fix. And so I think he got bad information. I know our leadership, once he called us, said, don't do it. You don't have the vote. Why waste taxpayer money? Why waste time? Let's just, call off the special session. And the governor wouldn't do it. He thought he could either bully us, or he could bribe us into passing what he wanted to pass. And when I say bribing, it was because he reached out to the special districts and asked them to pay for the special session, which to me stinks. I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test.
No.
Let's bribe the legislature, and if the bill passes, the special districts will pay for it, which is totally wrong.
Well, here's what's incredible to me, and help me with the timeline of all this. Now, you were never, ever in favor of this, right?
Of the original bill, 267?
Yeah, the original bill.
Right, no. I was not in favor of it. I voted against it, and I think it was an end run around Tabor. And I think it was bad policy, and I just think it was a really bad bill.
So Governor Hickenlooper knew going in what the outcome was going to be, correct?
Well, again, I don't know who he was listening to, because what I heard was he thought he had the votes to make this, to pass the bill, to pass the fix of 267.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think our leadership told him you don't, and so don't withdraw the special session.
Okay, and even though the bill was rushed through, it passed, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. So originally the governor was in favor of the bill because it was the hospital provider fee that he and the other Dems were trying to get through for the last several years. And so once it passed, he signed the bill like within days and became law.
But there was, for lack of a more colorful term, there was a clerical error in the drafting, in the language of the bill.
Right. And, yes, there was. And it was for special districts to be able to collect like a 2.9% sales tax on retail marijuana. And that was left out of the bill. And we have a lot of smart attorneys that work down there at the Capitol. All of them missed it. All the fiscal analysts missed it. The lobbyists missed it. And the governor and his legal team missed it. And so, yes, that was left out of the bill.
Okay, but the intent of the bill was to include that. Is that correct?
The intent of the... Well, I think, yes, the intent of the bill was, but it was, like you said, a drafting error, and people didn't catch it.
So I guess my question, and you know, again, I tend to approach things very simply. If and the intent of the bill was to include these issues that we are talking about when it comes to special districts, how they're being affected by hundreds of thousands of dollars they're missing each month as a result of the error, why wasn't that? And I'm not in favor of 267, don't get me wrong. But unfortunately, it was kind of game, set, and match. The bill was passed.
Right.
Why not just fix the bill, get some whiteouts, and you know what I'm saying?
well, because Tabor is very specific. There is no oops, like, oh, we got it wrong, and so we have this oops, and let's fix the bill. Because what happened was when the governor signed it into law, it took away the taxing authority of RTD and the other special districts. So now they have no taxing authority. So let's say, I don't know, Greeley, Loveland want to create a taxing authority regarding transportation. And they would have to go to a vote of the people because they did not have that taxing authority. So once it got signed into law, all those special districts lost their taxing authority. So it's basically the law of the state that if you don't have taxing authority, you have to go to the vote of the people. And so that was our argument. It was like, you know what? The governor and all these people, they missed it. And it's the law of the state. And so therefore, we're going to follow the Constitution. The Constitution says that if you want taxing authority, you have to go to the vote of the people. And so that's where we thought, you know, it's like we're following the Constitution. It's not a simple fix. It's not something the legislature can just override, because we took an oath to uphold and support the Constitution.
Okay, fair enough. So we spent essentially, taxpayers, $25,400, or wait, the special districts are going to pick this up? Is this how it works?
Well,
for 2 days, that's 58, if I'm counting my abacus beads correctly, on a whole lot of nada. My husband Keith came up with a great question. Does that mean we save a whole, or there's a whole lot of money being saved because of the snafu?
Yes. There's a whole lot of money being saved for people that live in that
right.
special district.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, like, RTD is not getting, I think it's like $5, $6 million for the last year, like $500,000 a month. So the people in that those RTD districts are saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And so are the other special districts.
So are you going to have to deal with this next session?
I think so. I think it's going to come up. You know, I think they're going to try and press another fix. And my position is the only fix is it going back to the vote of the people. And if RTD and the scientific and cultural district want to fix it, then they already have that authority. They have that authority right now to put it on the ballot. And I think that was one of our other angst with this whole bill, was that it wasn't an emergency. The bill got signed in May. They discovered it in late May, and the governor waits till October before it's too late to put it on a ballot. If it was that big of a deal, why didn't they call the special session early June?
Yeah, exactly.
Or let the special districts put it on the ballot, but they didn't do it. Yeah, it's government.
Yeah, it is government. And turning to local government, something you know a little bit about in Weld County, I refer to the almost daily installment of As the County Churns, because, well, things are happening fast and furious in Weld County, particularly when it comes to, well, let's just say the disagreement, or could be some bad feelings between the Weld County Commissioners and the Weld County Council. And speaking of expense, the fact, it's revenue neutral, but it's going to cost the voters of Weld County $150,000 this November when that initiative to disband the council 1A is on the ballot. What is your take on all this, John?
You know, again, it doesn't pass the smell test.
It doesn't.
The county council was holding the commissioners accountable, and a couple of the commissioners didn't like it, and they don't like being held accountable. They want to do whatever they want to do, and so the council said, no, we're not going to play that game. If you want a performance audit on the clerk and recorder, we're going to do a performance audit on you. And they don't like that. And so they want to do away with the county council because they don't want to be held accountable. And so I'm going to vote no on that initiative. I think the commissioners need accountability and oversight because they think they can do whatever they want. And they can run roughshod over, you know, all the different county agencies and over the public, and I think they need to be held accountable.
Well, I think there's some inherent danger there, and I know I join you on that vote no bandwagon because I don't feel like this is a good move for Weld County because of the potential of ceding power to Denver. Once you do that, it's not coming back anytime soon.
Right. No, exactly. They and that's exactly right, because the Home Rule Charter, the people that set that up back in whatever it was, 1976, were very, very smart people, and they realized that the power that the commissioners could have need to be kept in check. And so they set this system up for a reason, and I think they were spot on. So I think I hope this doesn't pass, because like I said, doesn't pass the smell test. They get criticized in an audit, and now they want to do away with them.
Yep. Stinks to high heaven. Senator John Cook, thank you so much, as always, for your time and your insights.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's catch up again soon.
Would love to. Thank you.
State Senator John Cook, 5:30 now, 1310 KFKA.
Thursday morning, a happy-go-lucky visit with Dave Jackson. We're going to talk.